if you as a Christian will be at church for 20 years, 3 times a day on Sunday, and midweek, if there is a midweek service at your church, the things that you hear in those times, I'm dead honest here, you will come to church sometimes, and there will be a boring preacher standing behind the pulpit. And you will have trouble staying awake. And you will wonder sometimes when you're sitting at home and you're flat out tired, you will wonder why you should get up and go to church instead of going to bed. Things like that will cross your mind. And don't say there is such a time as going to bed when you need to, okay? Actually, Brandon isn't here tonight. He went home to sleep because he was really feeling awful. But if you will do that, if you will go to church for 20 years and let the repetitive message of the Bible drip on your head, drip, 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 drip on your head, there will be things that will happen to you that you have no idea that are happening to you, that are literally shaping the entire foundation that you sit on. Shaping and making solid the foundation that you sit on, so that day by day, day by day, day by day, day by day, as you live your life, the things that you heard shape the decisions that you make. If there's anything on earth that I would say by about 1,000 times more than the next thing in my life that influenced me, the thing that influenced me in my life more than anything else was my dad sitting in this church listening to him preach. And it is the truth that he was a human, and not every single word that he said was true. He didn't hit the mark every single time, though I don't actually I was just thinking about this earlier this week. I actually think of anybody, and I have read a fairly extensive amount of church history, and I am somewhat familiar with the doctrinal patterns that have run throughout Christianity for the extent, at least since from the Reformation on. And I don't know that I could put my finger on a single person that I know of in all of church history that got a better balanced understanding of the Bible as a whole than my dad did. I'm not bragging about anything. He better have had that view, because it just so happens that he had a library of a few thousand books and he read a good share of them. And if he did all that reading and read all of that church history and got the views of all the different people, right and wrong, about the scriptures, if it didn't make him wise and it didn't help him to understand where people went wrong and where they went right and doctrinal truth, if it didn't help him, he was a poor person. He had an advantage, so he should have had a good understanding of the scriptures, and he did. And those years that I grew up sitting in this church, totally shaped my life. Totally. And there's one thing, the reason that was all introduction to this little thing that I'm going to say before I preach my boring sermon. There's one thing that my dad said that I will never forget. I heard him say it numerous times, and I wish I could quote his exact words, but I can't. But he said something to the effect that self-denial is the first principle of Christianity. We don't believe that today in modern Christianity. In fact, we don't hardly believe in self-denial at all. But he said over and over and over again, self-denial is the first principle of Christianity. Now listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, we have been talking, some of us here have been talking for the last couple of weeks here on the subject of authority and trying to straighten out in our understandings the proper place of authority in people's lives and the proper response to authority. And actually, I believe in authority. I believe in church authority. I believe in elders in a church ruling over people. You guys don't like that? Get out of here. I believe in elders ruling over people. That means that sometimes elders will tell people what they should be doing and the people should be listening. It's biblical understanding. Okay. But however, the authority in a church is somewhat weak because the authority in a church is not the same as the authority in a home. I'm going to preach on this next week probably. But the authority in a church is not the same as the authority in a home, because in a home, if mom or dad says do this and the child does not do it, the mom or the dad enforces it. And at church, I can say to all you people here, you ought never, ever, under any circumstances, for any reason, to walk inside the theater. I can say that. And some of you people have not got enough spiritual sense in your head either to know that what I said was true or to listen to me because I said it. Sorry for having to say that. And you will walk out of here, and 2 weeks from now, when one of your friends comes up to you and says there's a good movie playing at the theater tonight, you'll go see it because you don't got any sense in your head. There's no good movies playing at the theater. We already know that. But okay, this is beside the point. This is the weakness of church authority. Guess what happens if I say you shouldn't go into the theater and you do? Guess what happens? Do I spank you? Do I put you in jail? Do I pull your hair out? I don't really do much of anything, do I? Besides pray for you. I might sit down with you and talk to you and rebuke you, but that's about the extent. You know, Jesus didn't say, if any man will come after me, let him submit to the elders of the church. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You, every single person in this room who says that you have been born again, you say that God is your Father, you say that Jesus is your Lord, you have a relationship with the Almighty Eternal Creator. And it is your responsibility to maintain your own Christianity. It is your responsibility. If anybody in this room is failing in their Christian life, you know whose fault it is? It's yours. It is your fault if your Christian life isn't what it should be. Because Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. If any man will come after me, he did not say, if any man will come after me, let him not do the things that he thinks are awful. He didn't say that. You know, every single person could come up to this board here, and you could write a list of things on this board, of things that you know for a fact God says are bad, and you agree with him. You say, drunkenness, smoking, killing your best friend. And you could make a long list of things that God says are bad, and you agree, and you would never want to do them. That's not self-denial. You come up to this board and you write a list of things that God says are bad that you want to do. That's self-denial. Do you notice that it says here, he does not say, if any new convert will come after me, let him deny himself. He says, if any man. And in the one that we read in Luke, he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. This verse stands for Dale tonight. How many years have you been serving God? 33 years. Do you know that Dale hasn't been made holy enough yet? That there are still some things that God says that we shouldn't do that Dale wouldn't like to do if he could. He still has to deny himself today. There will never come a place in your spiritual life that you will get to a place until you die and meet Jesus and you're just like him. At that point you will. But as you walk this earth, there will never come a place in your life that you won't have to walk away from things that the flesh would like to do because God said you couldn't. Never come a place in your life that you won't have to make those choices. You know what's wrong with this church right here and what's wrong with many other conservative churches? We define too many times what we should deny ourselves of based on what we do and don't like, rather than based on what God says. The other thing that is very important for you to notice in these verses is, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now the Bible elsewhere explains that the cross is it which I am crucified to the world, and the world unto me. It is at the cross of Jesus Christ. It is at the cross, when we take up the cross, that everything that the world tells us we should be, we part ways with. And we begin to walk a new way in everything that God says we should be. There's in every single person in this room's life, there is influence. There is influence. Those of you who come and sit in these chairs and you listen to me and other people who speak here, there is one bit of influence here while you're sitting here. If you're listening, there's one bit of influence. Because I'm telling you that God wants obedience to his word. I'm always telling you that. But as you walk out of this room, most of the influence you get from all other sources in your life, most of it is the opposite. Most of it is coming from the world. Most of it is what you get when you open a newspaper, or when you are on the computer, or when you are driving down the street, or when you are talking to people who you know and love, when you are talking to relatives, when you are talking to co-workers. The influence that you get is generally the world. They teach you of the things of the world because that's what they know. Now maybe you have good parents and you might have very good influence from your parents at home. And you might have a very godly grandpa and you might get very good influence from him. But I'm saying that most of the time the influence we get is from the world. And the influence that we get that is of God is smaller. And way too many times, we let our minds be shaped by a conglomeration of the things that we hear. That's what lukewarmness is. I'm planning to go to Acts tonight. You guys know what lukewarmness, you know how you get lukewarmness? There's a very simple method to get lukewarmness. All you have to do to get lukewarmness is nothing. If you want something hot, you need fire. If you want something cold, you need ice. The only way to get something warmer or colder is to heat it or to cool it. When you want lukewarmness, you take the average of all influences, and you've got lukewarm. Now let me just imagine for a moment right now that you have a pastor that happens to be sick in the head. His name is Timothy. You've got a parent who happens to be sick in the head, whose name I won't name. And you have got 25 friends who happen to be quite worldly. Now you take your pastor's advice, and you take your parents' advice, and you take your 25 friends' advice, and you mix that all up into one big pot, and you say, well, obviously my parents and my pastor stand alone over here, and most of the world is here. So it's obviously my parents and my pastor have overstepped their understanding of sanity a little bit here. But I do happen to notice, looking at my 25 friends, that they don't seem to be very biblical in their advice. So they're not quite right either. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to balance the advice I get from my 25 friends and from my pastor and my parents. I'm going to balance that, and I'm going to be somewhere in between. Most people don't go through that process of thinking in their head, but it's how they actually determine to live their lives. They let all the influences work on them and shape their life, and it shapes them into what we call a lukewarm person that Jesus said in Revelation he will spit out of his mouth because he hates it. That's not Christianity. If you want to be a Christian, you're going to have to get on the fire and get hot. Anyway, I've just been thinking about that, and I remember my dad saying over and over and over again, self-denial is the first principle of Christianity. I can't make you guys be good. This church together can't make you guys be good. Reading the Bible will not make you guys be good. Listening to John R. Rice preach will not make you guys be good. There's one thing that will help you all. If you come to Jesus Christ and you take up the cross and say, I will follow you. I will deny the things that I want. I will do what is right. I will make myself walk with God. We had a whole church full of people that had that as the major, first, foremost principle of their mind. We'd have to do a lot less fighting here, trying to keep people spiritual.